The reading of God's holy word is from Psalm 91 this morning. Psalm 91. Our text is the first part of verse 4. Let's read the psalm in its entirety. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely, He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. We read God's holy word to that point. This morning our text is the first part of verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. Verse 1 of the psalm speaks of a secret place, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Children, do you have a secret place? A place that you run to when you're scared or when you want to be alone? When I was a child, I would build forts, as many children do, and that was always my secret place, the place I would go when I was scared, run into the fort. The psalmist understands something of that desire to run into a secret place. Only for the psalmist, he runs to the secret place. And he runs there because he knows the need for that secret place. The true secret place is the overshadowing protection of a sovereign and faithful God. And the need for that secret place that is whispered in all of the other needs is the need for that protection that alone the sovereign providence of God, who loves us, can give. And running to that secret place is by word and spirit coming to the consciousness of one's self under that sovereign protection of Jehovah God that He reserves for His people. running to that, knowing that, having the conscious understanding of that, chiefly right here under the proclamation of His Word as the Spirit works through that Word in us. By means, too, of our own meditation upon that Word, our own devotional life and prayer life. But dwelling in the secret place is living in the consciousness of His sovereign protecting care. The whole of Psalm 91 is about this. Psalter number 248, that is a versification of this psalm, and that we'll sing after the sermon is over, captures the essence of Psalm 91 when it has as the theme at the top of that Psalter number, overshadowing protection. Overshadowing protection. That's what it's all about. And yet that overshadowing protection is nowhere captured in the psalm more beautifully and marvelously than in verse 4, where the psalmist pictures the secret place and the overshadowing protection of being covered by Jehovah as being under His feathers, covered by His wings. Psalm 91 has three parts. The first part is the first two verses, where the psalmist himself is making his own personal confession about this secret place, about this refuge. I will say of the Lord, verse 2, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. His own personal confession. And then in verses 3 through 13, he shifts to teaching mode, and he points outside of the page to us and says, now you people of God, this is your refuge too. Notice the change from I in verse 2 to you in verse 3. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, verse 2, and then verse 3, surely He shall deliver thee, or you, from the snare of the fowler. He shall cover thee with His feathers. He's speaking to us, teaching us, and that extends through verse 13. And then the third section of the psalm is the last three verses, verses 14 through 16, where now the voice of God comes in directly. Of course, it's all the Word of God, but the voice of God comes in directly and speaks, as it were, confirming to us what the psalmist taught us in that second section. And God says, yes, yes, because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. That's God speaking. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. So our text this morning is in that second section where the psalmist is teaching us, declaring to us the promise of God. This refuge into which I enter, you may enter as well. You must know that this is for you. And then that promise is, as it were, confirmed by the direct voice of God at the end of the psalm. If this is Moses, as the human author God is using to write this psalm, and likely it is, then think of Moses, who knows this protection, this overshadowing care of God in his life, spared on that little homemade boat as a baby, spared in Pharaoh's household growing up. Think about how Moses ran into the secret place in his life at the burning bush close to God on top of Mount Sinai, him and God. Think about how often he went to the door of the tabernacle when God came down in the pillar of cloud, entering into that secret place, knowing the overshadowing care of God. And now, by inspiration, he's teaching the church and us, this is yours too, yours. Let's meditate on the beauty of that through the lens of that wonderful image in verse 4. And take up the text under the theme, under His wings, under His wings. We'll notice first this morning the need, second, the protection, and third, the calling, under His wings. The need, the protection, and the calling. If Jehovah God, in the image in verse 4, is likened to a mother bird who covers his little chicks under his wings. And that means, beloved, that you and I are the chicks. And indeed we are, in two ways. First, as chicks live in a dangerous, treacherous world, so do we. And second, as chicks are weak and vulnerable in that dangerous world, so are we. First of all, then, as chicks live in a dangerous, treacherous world, so we. Think about the need for protection for a little chick. That's what the psalmist is thinking of as he writes by inspiration. When the psalmist gives the dangers that we face in Psalm 91, you notice that he's keeping in mind this image of dangers that would be for a little chick. In verse 3, he speaks of the snare of the fowler. A fowler is someone who catches birds, and he catches birds with the use of a snare. A snare is a string loop. It was laid on the ground, a piece of bait, and it had a trip. And when the bird came in for the bait, tripped the trip, the noose would go around that bird and catch him. Terrible danger to a little bird. In verse 13, he speaks of the lion and the adder. An adder is a cobra, snake. And then in the second part of that verse, the young lion and the dragon. Dragon is another word for snake. It's a parallelism then. The lion and the cobra, the young lion and the snake. Young lions and snakes, terrible threat to birds. That's what they eat, birds. Even the pestilence that the psalmist speaks of in verse 3, the noisome pestilence. And again in verse 6, the pestilence that walketh in darkness. Even that, he's thinking of birds. It's the kind of pestilence that attacked animals. It's the same word, Hebrew word for pestilence here, that's used in the fifth plague in Exodus 9, verse 3. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle which is in the field, the horses, the asses, the camels, the oxen, the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain, a disease upon animals. Danger for birds. There are other dangers spoken of in Psalm 91. The terror at night and the arrow by day. Both of those are referring to an invading army. That's in correspondence to the other image at the end of verse 4, that God says He's also our shield and buckler. His truth is a shield and buckler. His truth delivers us from the invading army of lies. But we're not going to focus on that this morning, but on everything that's related to the main idea, which is this notion of being under His wings. Most of the dangers in Psalm 91 are related to that, dangers to birds. It's a dangerous world for little chicks, with fowlers out there, with murrain out there, young lions and cobras all around. It would be one thing, of course, if those little birds had some ability to defend themselves, but they don't. It has absolutely no way to defend itself. In addition to it being a dangerous place to inhabit, the little chick is utterly vulnerable. It's not a fox or a dog with teeth that can rip at the enemy. It doesn't have speed to get away. It's not a lizard or a fox with poison that it can use in its defense. It's a chick. It has absolutely nothing. It is one of the most vulnerable creatures in God's creation. It can't even fly yet and go up into the sky and escape. It's a little chick. This is all a good picture of us. We live in a dangerous world, beloved. is a great snake who slithered into our world and deceived our first parents, Adam and Eve, and doing so has brought such dangers upon us. So that after the fall of man into sin, there's danger everywhere. There's a curse of God that justly lays upon this creation, so that there's dangers at every turn, both physical and spiritual. Due to the fall, there are physical dangers everywhere we look. Physical troubles upon us. From the moment we even exist in this world, written into our very genes at the moment of conception, how many of even the physical troubles we face in this life are not already foreshadowed in our genetic makeup as soon as we come into this world? And from there in our genes on out into our life, the dangers abound. There's the threat of every physical ill you can think of, from cancer to car accidents, tornadoes to ticks, broken bones to broken hearts, Down syndrome to depression. There are spiritual dangers all around that are much worse. That too begins at the very moment of conception, before we're even conscious of it. Already written into our very makeup, a corrupt stock produces corrupt offspring. By original sin, we have this depraved nature. And many of the spiritual troubles that we are going to face in our life are already foreshadowed in our own old man. We all have an old man that's the same in many respects, totally depraved. But yet, each of our totally depraved natures has its own uniqueness about them. So that before we even know it, already written into us, we're attracted to this or that sin. From there on out in our life, spiritual dangers. The snare can be set for us all around us. The bait. Oh, the bait. We're drawn to things that feed our pride, feed our lust, that play off of our insecurities, that take advantage of our quick temper, or our self-pity, or our discontent, or our complaining spirit, or our love for revenge, or our love for control, or our love for the spotlight, or our love for anonymity. And how easily we walk into that snare and are caught, trapped, and cannot free ourselves in our own strength. Sin, stick with the psalmist's own images, it was also like a pestilence. Conscious, willing sin can spread like a disease within our own lives. Once it gets a foothold into the heart of a person, how it spreads like a disease spreads from one spot on your body through your whole body. It can spread to other parts of your life. It can begin to take over. Look at what it does when it gets a foothold in someone's life. And there's no repentance by God's grace. Young people, be not deceived. It's going to lie every time, and it's going to say, all we want is just this little bit. But it's not true. It wants all of you, everything, and it will spread itself once it gets a foothold in your life. Be warned. Warned of how sin spreads not only in individual life, but how conscious, willing sin can spread in a family, in a line of generations, in a church, in a friend group, like a disease. Conscious, willing sin, when given into, can spread amongst a people who give themselves over to it. Do not be fooled. It is a spiritual contagion. And our old man wants it, desires it. And there are snakes and lions about, calling us to it, biting us with it. The sneaking snake lies, whispers, sin will be good for you. Sin will be good for you. You will love it. You will enjoy it. It will increase the joy of your life. The lion roars about it. Follow along. Step in line, or you will be mocked. You will be dismissed. And once there is the giving in to any sin in our life, doesn't relent, does it? The snake whispers, using the guilt. He doesn't love you. He can't possibly love you because you've done this. The lion roars. Hell is for you. You might as well walk away from him now. Hell is for you anyway. Oh, the dangers. And it would be one thing, beloved, if we had some defense in ourselves. But we don't. We are vulnerable. We have nothing in ourselves with which to defend ourselves. We are not angels. We are not gods. We're born with this weakened physicality that's subject to all the physical troubles. We're born with a dead nature spiritually that can do nothing to prevent the snake and the lion and the pestilence of sin from overtaking our lives. We're helpless, utterly helpless in ourselves, vulnerable to every danger. Death hangs over us and consumes us in a moment, physically, spiritually, and eternally in hell in ourselves. Have you ever been afraid of this? From one point of view, if you have not in your own self, then you have no idea what world you inhabit and who you are in that world. You're a chick in a dangerous world in yourself. What shall we do? Where shall we go? We stand in need of protection. Is it found anywhere? Is there a secret place, a safe place? There is. There is. There's only one. And it is under the sovereign, overshadowing protection of an almighty God. That's what's being told us in the image in verse 4. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Under his wings shalt thou trust. The first part of that sentence is the objective and sure reality. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Think about it from looking at the scene from above. And down below, there's that mother bird. And you can see the chicks running under her wings. He shall cover thee with his feathers. Then the next part of that sentence is the view from below, the subjective, from the point of view of the chicks themselves. Under his wings shalt thou trust. And the chick under the wing, looking up and seeing the feathers of the bird over him, nestled safe to the side. If you've never seen this image that the psalmist is referring to in God's creation, you must, even if it means doing a Google search and finding it on YouTube. Everyone knows the image, but to see it, it's a marvelous thing, marvelous thing. A mother bird, whether it's a hen or a stork or an eagle, will take her chicks under her wings to protect them, to keep them utterly safe, and the chicks will run there when they are scared, frightened, insecure. In fact, this is one of the great images of God's care for his people used in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, and showing the wonderful reality that the earthly creation is pointing us to the heavenly truths. The psalmist turned to this time and time again. Psalm 17. From the wicked that oppress me, from the deadly enemies who compass me about, keep me as the apple of thine eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 57, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me. For my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. Psalm 63, verse 7. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Psalm 61, verse 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Here is safety. Here is security. And here alone, under his wings. Whose wings, children? His. God's. He, even though the image is a mother bird, he shall cover thee with his feathers. The God who's described with four names in verses 1 and 2, Most High, Almighty, Jehovah, my God. Verse 1, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, the Most High. There are people on this earth who are in high places, but He is the Most High, as the highest place. Above all else, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, all dominion and rule is His. Second, the Almighty, He shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The Shaddai, the Almighty, the entirely mighty one. All might is His. There are many who are mighty in this world. And a lot of the mighty are the ones who are in high positions. But He has all might. Entirely mighty. And their might is only on loan from Him and can be brought back, taken back by Him without even a moment's notice. It's all His. Third, He is Jehovah. I will say of the Lord, all caps, Jehovah, He is my refuge. The faithful God of the covenant, the changeless one. So that with all of that entirely mighty power and in that most high position, what is He doing with it? He's doing everything that serves His covenant. And His purpose is in that covenant to take a people to Himself. So that in that covenant, I may call Him my God. That's the fourth name used. My God, in Him I will trust, as though that's a name. Put your own name there for my. Who is He? It's my God. My God. And in the covenant, all of His might and all of His high position uses for me. This great, entirely mighty, Most High God of the covenant is telling us that because I'm your God in this covenant, you may think of me as a mother hen hides you under my wings. Isn't that astounding? Spurgeon says, had it not been told us in the Word, had it been invented, this comparison between God and a mother bird, by an uninspired man, it would have verged upon blasphemy, For who would dare to apply such words to the infinite Jehovah? But as he himself dictated the language, we have here a great condescension, such as it becomes us to admire and adore. Calvin says, when we consider the majesty of God, there is nothing which would suggest to us a likeness such as is here drawn between God and the hen or other birds who spread their wings over their young ones to cherish and protect them. But in accommodation to our infirmity, he does not hesitate to descend, as it were, from the heavenly glory which belongs to him and to encourage us to approach him under so humble a similitude. This is the Most High God we're talking about. He speaks and the cedars of Lebanon break. And yet when it comes to his covenant people for their comfort, he will compare himself to a mother hen keeping her chicks under its wings. What does David say in another psalm? Thy gentleness hath made me great. The unbeliever, beloved, does not fear God and therefore must be terrified of God. But the child of God fears God, reverences him for his most high position and his entire might, and yet he is not afraid of him. Because this is who he is for him. This protection is described as a covering for his people. He shall cover you with his feathers. It's an astounding thing when you see a mother bird take its chicks under its wings. You wouldn't even know that those chicks are there. They are so entirely covered, it's like they disappear. We'll describe what that covering is more specifically in a moment, but for now, beloved, recognize that God's protection, his overshadowing protection, leaves no part of his people exposed. There's no part of your life, there's no event of your life that is outside of this overshadowing protection. He has you, his people, entirely under his providential love and care. We sing in the Psalter, all unprotected, lo, I stand, no friendly guardian at my hand. We sing that because that's what we feel like sometimes, not because that's what's really true. This is what's really true. People take out insurance for protection, and we use that language, don't we? Protection, covering with insurance. How much coverage do I have? And am I exposed to this or that if I only have this much coverage? But beloved, there is no insurance policy that can cover you utterly in everything. You can purchase medical insurance, car insurance, hurricane insurance, ice storm insurance, and every other kind that you can think of. But apart from being under his feathers, you are still exposed. You are exposed to death in the end. You are exposed to death taking one to hell in the end. You're exposed to sin and to Satan and to circumstances that are beyond your ability to predict and to protect yourself from. And even in those things that insurance covers, it covers from the aspect of your money. But you're still so exposed. And the effects of those things upon my life and the wrath of God that comes in them upon me when I am by myself. Only in him. Is there true covering? Utterly. And it never runs out. There's no premiums that come in the mail that you have to pay lest you risk losing this protection. It is sure. It is steadfast. He shall cover thee with his feathers. He shall. Because he is doing it. He shall. It's all dependent upon him, and it cannot fail. And when you get up tomorrow and you read these words, they'll be the same and they'll mean the same to you. He shall cover thee. And the next day after that, and 10 years from now, he shall do it. It's true. It's real. Who is it for? It's for his chicks. A hen does not gather other chicks under her wings, but her chicks. So too God, for his own, those who are his in Jesus Christ, who come to the consciousness of their own great need in this situation, their own utter, utter vulnerability, and the danger that they are in spiritually, and who fly to Christ, Christ alone, by faith in him, I know these wings over me. There alone do I know them. In Christ we have these feathers over us. Leaving aside the interpretation of the New Testament passage for now, do you remember that the Lord uses this image and applies it to himself in Luke 13? Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings? I am the manifestation of God's wings over his people. In me, you know these feathers over you. Outside of me, you are exposed to all of these dangers and the effects upon you, your soul for eternity. But in me, you're safe. By faith, embrace him. By faith, know this is yours. Personally, it's in the second person, both times, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. This becomes personal for God's people, for you, child of God, who knows yourself in this Christ by faith. This is your secret place. These are your feathers overshadowing you. More specifically now, how do they protect us from all these dangers we talked about in the first point of the sermon? Three things. First, there's a story from a book dating back to the 1940s. About a firefighter who was putting out a forest fire. After the fire was out, he came upon a bird on the ground. The bird was charred, as everything else was charred. He went up to it, and because it was not moving, he tapped it a little bit with his boot. It didn't move, but out ran three little chicks. The mother was dead, charred by the fire, but the three chicks had survived under the wings. Here is the first specific sense in which we are protected, covered, under his wings, beloved. For the guilt of sin, we deserve the fires of God's just wrath to come down upon us. And for death itself to only be a passageway to the greater experience of that wrath. But in Jesus Christ, God himself takes those fires of wrath upon himself as those wings covering us, so that we are safe, under his feathers, covered, protected. That's first. So that's not for us. death itself becomes a passageway to come closer to him under those same wings. Second, when there is an enemy about, a dog or a fox or a lion, cobra, the mother bird will take her chicks and put them behind her, and she'll put her wings up so that the wings protect her chicks from any attack that would try to get through to them. And then she'll start making all kinds of noise and fluff up her other feathers, and she'll go after that dog or fox in a way that astounds you, and she scares away these things that are much bigger than her and protects them from being destroyed by those enemies. So too God, beloved in his providence, he will not allow the devil, the world, and our own sinful flesh to consume us utterly, to take us. He preserves his saints, protects us, and even if we fall to the snare of the fowler for a time, remember what another psalm says? The snare is broken and our souls in liberty arise. He will always restore us. He'll break that noose, bring us back to himself. He won't allow that fowler to have us for supper, to roast us. Preserve us from sin. Keep us. Third, especially the bigger birds, storks, eagles, who make their nests way up high in a tree, often, because they do so, they and their chicks are exposed to the circumstances, storms that come. And you'll see Mother Stork, or Mother Eagle, and she senses that a storm is coming. Take those chicks under her wings, and while the rain pounds down, she'll have those chicks under her safe. In the circumstances of our lives, beloved, the things that would hurt us, God does this so that we are safe in them, and they are for us and not against us. All the effects of the fall that are upon us in this life, he prevents or turns to our profit. Behold the overshadowing protection of the Almighty, who has all things in his hand and averts evils away from his children. We don't think about this enough. When we get to heaven, how many things we will discover in the end that he averted from us because he knew we were not ready for it. I would be destroyed by it. What he does allow to come to us, he allows to come to us at the right time, turns it to our profit. Can Allstate hold back the car accident until the perfect moment and then make it work for your eternal welfare when it does come upon you? Can your health insurance hold back that disease, bring it upon you in the perfect time when God says, I want you to be with me in heaven. Your journey is over. Your pilgrimage, tired saint who served me, it's time to come home. Only him. Only him. Only here is there safety. Little chicks. What do you see? Look up. What do you see? It's his feathers. Trust him. Even when it hurts, even when it doesn't make sense, trust him. Nestle at his side and see those wings are there. That's the calling of the text. To trust. Trust, little chicks. Trust. By faith, believe him. Trust him. Rely upon this word. Believe this word, true for you. God's people shall, under his wings, shalt thou trust. You shall, by the power of word and spirit. It doesn't mean there won't be doubts at times. There are. It doesn't mean there will be times when you don't forget and your eyes are stuck upon the circumstances or the troubles or the things that hurt. But when the word of God comes and declares these truths, and you look up and you see it's there. I know it's there. I'm under his wings. The Spirit does that even through the Word of God this morning. Trust, children of God. Those wings are there over you. It's when we forget that we don't know that that's the secret place. And then fears come in. But when we see it, when we remember it, by faith, embrace it. Then verse 5, thou shalt not be afraid by the terror by night or for the arrow that flieth by day. This is what it means then, beloved, to come into the secret place, to abide under the shadow. We're objectively there all the time, whether we remember it or not. But to abide is like that little chick to run, to consciously know from his word, to embrace his word by faith. This is where I am, and I'm safe, for he is my God. Nothing past, present, or future shall destroy me. All is perfectly fitted for my salvation, the salvation of all of his people. Then, when you fall into sin, God forbid it, the snare of that fowler catches you for a time. The guilt of that sin overwhelms you and you come in repentance to your Father, brokenhearted. Then by faith, beloved, look up and see those wings over you. Look up and see those once charred feathers for you, taking the atoning wrath for you. When that sin seems to have you in its noose, and you're powerless. By faith, look up. Come under those wings. Come to the Word where that protection is found. And by that Word, the snare is broken. Our souls in liberty arise. And the circumstances of life seem to be too much. Run to this secret place, beloved. Look up. See his feathers there over you. In the Word of God, in your own devotional life, in your own encouragement of each other, rest in him. Don't say, but they're only feathers. The feathers of the Almighty, of Jehovah, the Most High, your God. In rain or drought, in fruitful, barren years, sickness and health, and riches and poverty, yea, and in all things, May it be said of us what Boaz said of Ruth, when she, drawn by grace to his overshadowing protection in his word and amongst his people, was spoken of this way, and Boaz answered and said unto her, "It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother in the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Amen. Father, preserve and keep us, and Father, comfort our hearts by this truth, that we may lay hold of it by faith. We believe, Lord, help thou our unbelief. In our Savior's name, amen.